What exactly is Bitcoin? Is it not creating an asset out of where?
For some, it's an investment vehicle. For others, it's a cross-border payment network. For others, and for most, and how I see it, is a savings scheme.
Bitcoin has seen its highs and lows, but where does it go next?
Someone might argue in asking, will Bitcoin recover then from its current position?
It's more likely than not that it will recover. You are more likely to see a new all-time high than to see a total collapse. You can't look someone in the eye and tell them that this asset will definitely recover.
To help us answer these questions, I get to interview Theo Mwangi, a techpreneur with expertise in this sector. Welcome to the Make Money Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Make Money the Podcast, the show where we not only show you but also tell you what's happening to your money and what could happen. And of course, this is guided by conversations with our experts of money. And since President Donald Trump returned to the White House, there was an expectation that crypto assets would continue rising and at least the interest in the coins would continue happening as he brought in smoother or softer regulations. And he also did quite a number of things, including freeing up some of those jailed, you know, crypto pushers or crypto evangelists, if we might call it so. And the biggest being, of course, Binance owner, founder, Xi Jinping. But what has happened ever since that time is the price of Bitcoin has moved in the other direction, falling lower. If you look at today's prices, we are basically trading almost half where we were at around the end of October last year. And so the conversation here today is to find out, is Bitcoin in a death spiral? And to understand this, I'm happy to have a crypto enthusiast in the house, Mr. Theo Mwangi, who's an entrepreneur. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Make Money.
Thank you. Thank you, Kefa.
And we begin with that context of where the expectations were when President Trump came in. There was an expectation that Bitcoin now would re-go high and high and high and almost never come back down. But we've not really seen that turn out despite Bitcoin being, of course, advertised as a haven asset where you would expect it to follow gold and move higher. It's moved lower. Why exactly has that been the case?
The price of Bitcoin is, of course, determined by a range of factors, one of them being energy, because it's a proof of work asset. People have to mine it, people have to maintain the network, people have to do all these things that play into how now it works as an asset and as well as a network that people can transact on without relying on a centralized entity to process the transaction. So one side of the value comes from that, the entire way that it operates. The other side of value is in it has a 21 million supply that cannot be expanded. So it's a deflationary asset. So the more the money expands and people put it in Bitcoin, the more it goes up, because the Bitcoin supply itself only expands up to 2140, around 2140, when all 21 million coins will be mined. Other sides that also determine the price is speculation and all that. And as we've seen recently, a lot of institutional capital has come into Bitcoin. We have seen ETFs, we've seen all these other financializing of the asset, where now maybe the price is not pegged to supply and demand only, where if the tokenomics are 21 million and $20 billion are in Bitcoin, then that automatically almost guides the price. So that's one factor. Another factor is just the cycles. We have the cycles. I am fortunate enough to have been there for a couple of cycles. So we usually see these spikes after the halving. The halving now is when the difficulty of mining becomes even harder. So we had a halving in 2016, in 2020, in 2024, and now the next halving will be in 2028. So just the year before the halving, we usually see the restart of the next cycle. So the moment we got to 2020 and COVID came, we had that big crash. And then towards 2020 towards the end, and 2021 we saw all-time highs, and then again we crashed again after 2021 when we first saw 60,000 plus in Bitcoin. And then again we started building in towards the end of 2023 after we hit a bottom of 16,000, and then now towards 2024 we had a halving, and then last year we saw an all-time high. And then again the cycle needs to be respected, so we might see lower. Nobody can accurately predict the price, but we might see lower before we see the next up. But on a longer enough time frame, we will still go up.
So as the prices of Bitcoin fall, what we've seen is doubters of this technology coming and asking, is Bitcoin a strong asset in itself? Is it not creating an asset out of air? What are the fundamentals of this? What exactly is Bitcoin for someone who's never invested in it? They only see the price, or they hear, or they might be, oh, you guys are discussing Bitcoin price. Okay, now it's down. It was up last year. Okay. Are there fundamentals? And just as I let you answer, of course, some of the doubters of this technology and the crypto world, even, you know, serial entrepreneurs, you have Warren Buffett wondering whether there's any value in this asset class.
Yeah.
How would you respond to someone who would like to know, what exactly would I be putting my money in if I'm going into crypto and Bitcoin in particular?
Actually, Bitcoin is a lot of things to different user groups. For some, it's an investment vehicle. For others, it's a cross-border payment network. For others, it's just a way to transact outside SWIFT and the other formal systems. For others, and for most, and how I see it, is a savings scheme. Because you can't really put it as a security, as a money market fund. It doesn't pay any interest. So the value of Bitcoin is in that, you know, it's a savings scheme because the number is finite. So over a long enough time frame, you expect it to be going up because there is no inflation, there is no expansion of supply and all that. But there will always be doubters, for sure. For example, right now, if someone tries to sell you land in Kamulu over buying maybe Safaricom shares, you know, yeah, what you'd go for. So Warren, yeah, Buffett belongs to a different generation. You'll see guys like Elon Musk go really heavy on Bitcoin, guys like Jack Dorsey as well, because they belong to a different generation as well. For us, especially now here in Kenya, where maybe we are trying to make money, we are trying to bridge gaps that were there in the market and inefficiencies, whether it's with transactions and all that, Bitcoin now comes in handy because, for example, when I started first in Bitcoin, I was getting paid in Bitcoin because I was working for an international blockchain that was based in Romania. Just processing my salary from Romania to Nairobi was a bit hectic. At first, I knew it as a payments gateway. And then now, as I held it, I could see, okay, I was paid a certain amount worth in cash, and now it's worth a different amount. So, okay, this is something that I could invest in. So I also now started putting money in it. So it's a different thing to different people. But now when it comes to fundamentals, I would kick it back to something different. Yesterday, Buy Bitcoin was searched the most number of times in the last 5 years. Why? Because of the war in Iran and the Middle East. Most of the searches were coming from South Korea, from Dubai, and all these jurisdictions that maybe have this uncertainty. If you hold Bitcoin worth $10 million, for example, you don't need 10 security guards, a private chopper to help transport your wealth, as that would be if you held gold, for example. Mm-hmm. If you have your assets as a building like this one we are recording in, where you would need security now to protect you from that, maybe anti-missile to shoot down whatever was trying to destroy your wealth. You just need a small wallet on your phone or a flash drive that is known as a cold storage to just move around with your wealth. That already is so much value. Another part is, you see, like in Iran, they were mining Bitcoin for around $1,300 because energy is cheap there. Anywhere in the world, you can be able to mine Bitcoin if you have excess energy. Of course, we don't have that luxury in Kenya, but yeah, in some jurisdictions, they produce more energy than they need. But they maybe don't have the infrastructure to be able to sell that energy to other countries, to other maybe people who would put it to good use. But if you just use it to mine Bitcoin, you store that energy as code, as Bitcoin, in a flash drive, and you're able to move it anywhere across the world. So I wouldn't say it lacks fundamentals. It's a very useful asset class, and especially for countries where people are still trying to deal with inefficiencies that have existed for the longest time, and the smart investors as well in the first world countries see it. So you'll see the likes of Michael Saylor are always buying and all that. So it's a financial instrument that changes how things have always existed before.
You did speak of cycles and knowing that things go up, come lower, go back up. There's a saying always in investment that future or past performances are not re-indicative of the future. And someone might argue in asking, will Bitcoin recover then from its current position? They might argue, well, in the past, we've had crashes. We've had the COVID-19 pandemic. That was big. The collapse of FTX, the exchange created by Sam Bankman-Fried, was another. But we still saw Bitcoin recover. So how do you manage your expectations in that? The cycles do happen. The halving events always happen where supply is cut in half. Do you just base that and say the future is likely to follow the same trend?
Of course, we can't say that. Even traditionally, even with stocks and other asset classes, you can see some of them went down and never recovered. So you can't look someone in the eye and tell them that this asset will definitely recover. But working with historical data, working with the trends that we see now and the financialization of this, you see banks going into it, you see financial institutions going into it, it's more likely than not that it will recover. You are more likely to see a new all-time high than to see a total collapse. And to switch that a bit, we could look at these cryptocurrencies since like 2014 and look at the top 10 coins over 2014, 2015, 2016, you'll see that almost always they don't recover. Only Bitcoin has managed to beat the test of time, and Ethereum and some others in there. But you'll find that 9 out of 10 from 2014 no longer even do $100,000 in volume per year. So it's really important that when you are going into such asset classes, you measure your risk well, you do your research well, you learn about the cycles and have your targets and goals that you want to do from what you're doing with these assets.
You spoke of Michael Saylor, and anyone who doesn't know Michael Saylor, he's the executive chairman of MicroStrategy, and it's a firm doing something interesting. You know, they're investing their cash or whatever money or funding they can get into buying Bitcoin, and they are quite believers, and they, I feel, already are quite a believer of Bitcoin. Yeah. You know, whenever especially prices fall for any item, there's always that flow where, you know, there are strong people who won't quit, or holders who won't re-quit on a stock, on a company, on an asset, on a person. Sometimes you have that group of people who won't give up on you and they'll keep pushing you. You know, there's always that hold on to dear life for Bitcoin whenever the prices are falling. Will we have a group which will see these assets through the current cycle?
We have already seen some of the wallets from inception that have never moved their Bitcoin sell for the first time. So, of course, we will see some of them capitulate and sell. We will see others liquidated by the market. And as well as a big company will fall. It's almost guaranteed. As you said before, we saw FTX, before we saw MTGOX, we saw all these events that have happened previously where a big entity collapses and that also goes down with the price. Luna as well, which collapsed, and the price of Terra Luna and their stablecoin collapsed. So we will see some of these big guys capitulate either by market conditions or just by other factors. That's not to say that Bitcoin will not survive that. It has survived so many tests before. And even newer hands just holding it are better for the ecosystem than just having a group of guys control it over a long period of time.
And so we speak of now where the future is heading, and you're enthusiastic that the fundamentals of the past have shown that we'll see a recovery in this asset class. And someone might look at just the price trend. They might not look at anything else. They might look at the chart, and it goes, you know, up to around 126,000, which was the price in late October 2025. And then you see it down at around 60,000, 70,000, depending on when you look at it. Is it still a sound asset for someone who might just look at that price and ask, is it something sound?
I would say yes. Like Warren Buffett says, it's a buy when others are fearful. You be greedy and be fearful when others are greedy. It's easier said than done, though. You imagine if you bought even at 100,000 and then you see it's at 63,000 and then there is a war in Iran, you are likely to think, okay, let me save something and then I'll buy lower. And then now when it's rallying, it's at 130, maybe 140, 150 in 2028, 2029, you're like, I need to buy because it's already going higher. So I do think I have a high conviction that the current prices are closer to the floor than closer to the all-time highs that we will see after the next halving. But that again depends on the person who is buying. If I was the one buying, I would buy, but I don't give financial advice. So it's such a strong asset, as you can see with the adoption that we have got over the last maybe 2-3 years of institutions, with the regulation that is being passed in the US, here locally in Kenya as well, in South Africa, in Nigeria, in all these markets that usually do a lot of volumes, you can see a clear pivot into taking the asset mainstream. It has been something that we were doing below the radar previously. We tried to engage the authorities, we tried to engage people who'd help us with that, but no one was willing to touch on that case. Right now you can see that accelerating, the parliament already passed that. The laws are now being developed, so I see it even going way much higher than where we were in late October.
And so does it present, not maybe the perfect, I'll avoid using the word perfect here, perfect opportunity to buy. Is it a good opportunity to get into the asset class at this time then?
Yeah, it's always a good time to buy Bitcoin, first things first. But when the prices are lower, like right now is the best, of course, opportunity. You don't want to be buying towards the all-time high, especially if you are buying to sell, which is what most of us do. So yeah, I would say the opportunity to buy usually comes when the prices are low, like right now. We might even see lower than now, actually way lower than where we are right now. But if you start buying now, there is a strategy called dollar cost averaging, which one can apply now over maybe the next 2-3 years before we get to the next halving and then see how that plays out.
So Theo, finally, I would ask, you mentioned something about community support, you know, the asset class race, it's because of lack of regulators and maybe more legal, more structured, structured entities. A lot of times an investor dealing in Bitcoin has to go do their research by themselves, and someone might have followed this conversation and wondered, how, where can I get support, or where can I get people like Theo who can walk me through these things as we conclude?
There are institutions that do that here locally. So we have the likes of my former company, BitLeaper. We have a virtual assets chamber. We have all these organizations that are doing that. So a lot of Kenyans will use crypto without even knowing they're using crypto, but there are investors as well now who want to curate their experience dealing with money.
Thank you. And that's Mr. Theo Mwangi. He's a serial tech entrepreneur, of course, founder of BitLeaper. He's also founded Evolve Link, and he's been here, you know, making the case for Bitcoin, and I hope you've been able to learn a thing or two about the asset class, why it's been trending, the way it's been trending, and where it's likely to trend next. And that has been another episode of Make Money by the Business Daily. My name is Kefa Moirore, and hope to catch you on the next one. But until then, remember to make your money work for you. Goodbye.